We were just kind of, you know, like, there's nothing funny about the war, but there's all kinds of funny things that happen. And I'm sure people laugh about different things. And we always try to find something funny, you know, about, at least in my culture, we laugh about different things. Maybe it's not always funny for everybody else, but in our culture, we just see something a little bit funny, and we look at different things. So I'm not going to tell you about it now because you might not think it's funny. But to me, it's funny, you know, just certain things that happen. But there's nothing funny about the war. So I never know who's listening out there, so we don't want anybody to criticize. So let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to talk about the purpose of the anointing, or the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's something called, there's another experience after getting saved and coming to Jesus. That's a spiritual experience, which a man by the name of Nicodemus didn't understand. Over in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, there's that story where Jesus told him, you need to be born again. That's a spiritual experience. It's not a mental experience, although it affects our thinking and affects the way we feel. It's not an intellectual discourse or experience, that just a way of thinking or philosophy, but it was a spiritual experience to get born again, come into the Spirit, and come into the light of the gospel. And after that, John in John's gospel, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And he breathed on them. After he rose from the dead, he appeared to them. They were in clothes in this upper room, hiding away, fearful of the persecution and of the people's anger. And they were afraid. And Jesus appears to them in the midst. And the Bible says that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so at that point, they were born again. They got born again because they received the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit was able to come in them. Jesus, no one was ever born again before Jesus died until he rose from the dead. Then someone could be born again. And in fact, there's people that was waiting who had faith in God, who were waiting in a place called paradise, and it was the holding place. Jesus went down to them, spoke to them. The Bible says that in the book of Ephesians, that Jesus took them up into heaven, preached to them the gospel. And I believe that some of my people in my culture who believed in God, they were there. And the Bible says they live by the conscience, and see, God doesn't, God can't judge you from something you don't know. And if you live by a conscience that there is a God, you know, I believe that you can get saved, you can be born again. God will give you the complete gospel. So Jesus went down there and preached to those people in something called Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says he took those people up to heaven. Book of Ephesians talks about that in the Matthew talks about that, and he took them up into paradise, into heaven. And he appears to the disciples and said, you know, don't touch me before that. I haven't taken my blood to the throne, into heaven. And they thought this is a ghost. But they said, this is me, don't handle me now. But when he came back, he told them to handle, you can touch me. So the next time he left, the Bible said he appeared to at least 500 of them. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, he appeared to about 500 of them. The Bible talks about in Matthew that he appeared to a number of the believers. And in fact, it's kind of a funny thing that some people even were raised from the graves. It's kind of a strange thing, but it happened. And so he went to heaven. Before he went to heaven, he gave those disciples, 120 disciples, in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled. But in chapter 1, he says, wait for the promise of my Father. Verse 4 says, which I have told you before. And that's, he was referring to the conversation he had with the disciples in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He talked about a person called Holy Spirit. He said to him, my Father, I'm going to send him to you. That's John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He talks about that the Holy Spirit will come. 16, 13, he says, but when he, the Holy Spirit, will come, he's going to teach you all things. He's going to make all things known to you. So we flip back over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. He says, wait for that promise I told you about, verse 4 and 5. Then the Bible says he went up to heaven, and the disciples were looking up. They saw Jesus leaving like a rocket. Being lifted up in the air in the cloud. He's being lifted up, and they were looking, gazing up into heaven until they couldn't see him anymore. And then two guys appeared to him in shiny white clothes. I was thinking about the man, Javik's man, or, you know, he's so shiny and clean. You know, the man from Glad, maybe. They appeared. Those two angels came. And they didn't have any bags with them, or any, no bags with them, no buckets. They appeared to Jesus, or they appeared to the... after Jesus left, these two men appeared and said, why are you looking up and gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is to come back the same way you see him leave. But in verse 8, before he left, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, this is the second spiritual experience that we believers have, that we should all experience, is that second spiritual experience. The first one was being born again, being born in the Spirit. There is such a thing as the Spirit within, the well of life. John chapter 7, verse 37, 38 talks about the well of life in us. The well of life is the well of salvation. You know, it talks about that we'll have a well, or at least in chapter 7 talks about, you know, we'll have rivers of living water in us, but he talks about a well as well, a well of salvation. But that well of the Spirit, or the rivers of Spirit, is the Holy Ghost is going to come through our lives to minister in and through us. There's a Spirit within, and there's a Spirit without, or the Spirit that comes upon us to minister. The Spirit within is for us to live, you know, in the Spirit with God. And then there is a Spirit that comes upon us, the rivers. The well is for us ourselves to live, the fountain well. And then there's a river, the rivers of living water. This river helps us to minister. Not just one river, but rivers, plural. So whatever the Holy Ghost wants us to minister out of that, we're able to minister. And so I've said that just to say this verse, Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Power. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that's an experience that we all should enjoy after we get born again. How many of you received that power when you had that experience already? If you hadn't had that experience, you need to get it, because it's very hard to live a strong Christian life without this. You can live, in the Spirit, at least with God, but there's something else that comes with, there's that power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that's upon us. Now remember this, in Acts chapter, John chapter 16 there and 13, the Bible says that Holy Ghost is going to be inside you already. So he's in you at salvation. He comes in you. But at the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he also comes upon you at times. You know, Holy Ghost can move upon you to minister, but also there's a river inside of us that we minister from, because you were filled with him. And so notice He says why this would happen. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I understand that these are symbolic of where we will give our witness of Jesus. Jerusalem is where they lived. These disciples were in Jerusalem. They were there. They got filled there in Jerusalem. So that's their home. I believe when we're born again, our witness of Jesus becomes evident to those people around us that something's changed in us. And our responsibility is to witness to the people that are around us, to live a life that is full of the power of God. And they'll see the impact of our lives, that Jesus has changed our lives by the power of His Spirit. Of course, then he talks about Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. You know, of course, in Samaria, those were half Jews, and those Samaritans were half Jews. And they weren't really, really actually liked by the other Jews because they were not fully Jewish people. They didn't really like the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't really like the Jews. There was some animosity there because of different things. So sometimes we have to go to minister to people that we don't really like. We're going to minister to people that we don't really enjoy the most. So if your feathers get ruffled and you have to live and go to the same church that you might not like somebody, well, Jesus wants you to. He wants you to learn to walk in love and learn how to live with people that is different from you. You can't always have everything the way you want it, because Jesus puts the body in the body together as it pleased Him, not as it pleased you. So, of course, to the uttermost parts of the world, and that means we're going to go out to wherever God wants us to go to minister to the Lord. And some people, they don't want to get saved because that's where they feel like, I don't want to go to Africa. And I don't want to get saved. I don't want to go into the ministry. I don't want to say yes to the ministry because God might send me to somewhere I don't want to go to. So they never give themselves fully to God because they don't want to follow this. And so, but that, you know, we don't have to talk about that right now because, you know, we all have those experiences. I remember a lady who Brother Hagin talked about, that she said no to God for many, many years until she was very older. And she said, I didn't give myself to Jesus because I thought He's going to send me to some foreign country and I didn't want to go. She always sensed that inside her. But at a certain juncture in her life where she had to come to God and come to grips with certain questions she had, the Lord said to her, I didn't really want to send you anywhere. I just wanted to know if you would go to anywhere I send you. And sometimes He just wants you to be willing to do whatever it is. I was just talking to someone recently. They're at a crossroads in their life. They don't know what they're going to do. They've had opportunities. They had different things going on in their lives. But they have to come to a place where they say, God, I'll do whatever it takes. Send me and do whatever you want with my life. Here's my life. And God can do something with a person like that. And you'll be the happiest when you give your life to Jesus 100%. There are Christians who haven't done that yet. Jesus is Lord in terms of He's Savior, but He's not Lord of all their lives yet. That they learn to come to a place where Jesus is actually Lord of their lives. That's a process. For some of us, it became easier because we had nothing left. We exhausted all our opportunities. We tried this and that, lived on our own. But then we come to a place in our lives. I was 24 when that happened to me. I was 24 years old. By that time, I was 20. I gave my life to Jesus when I was about 19 or 20. And then I was 24. I was 100%. I said, God, You can do whatever You want with my life. I was not happy. I was successful. To my knowledge, I was successful. I had finished college. I had a job, I had a nice apartment, I had a nice girlfriend that I thought was a nice girlfriend, might be my wife or whatever, you know. I had places I could work and did different things, you know. And I thought, but I was not happy. I had the girlfriend, I had the house, had the car, and all that stuff, and nice stuff. But I was not happy. Every night I go to bed, I knew something was missing. Until I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to the television by Billy Graham. And he said, there's something in you. You're not satisfied yet. And you can, no one can ever satisfy that place in your life except Jesus. And if you come to Jesus, he'll come and fill that place that nothing, no one else could ever fill. So I was ready. And I invited Jesus in my life. He came into my life. And I cried and cried. I cried for days. I cried for weeks even. And every time I read my Bible, I would just weep. I was so touched by God. It impacted me that much. You know, I don't know about you. Jesus said, those people who've been saved by much, who's been relieved by so many pains and hurts and difficulties, those people become the greatest. They become so grateful. And in my young life, I had become grateful for salvation. All I knew was pain all my life. I was lost. I was orphaned. I was neglected. All my life until I come to this place, I thought if I can just get some education and then I can be okay. I remember, as I always tell you, sometimes, you know, I was sitting in that, crying in that little bathroom over and on Donald Street and Franklin. I was crying because I didn't know if anybody knew where I was. I was only like 6 or 7 years old, and I was praying, God, can somebody pick me up? Because I don't know if they know I'm here. I'm stuck in this big building with all these nuns and all these kids. I don't know where I am. And I was stuck because I was in this residential school. So when I got born again, all that washed away. All that washed away. And so that's why I cried for a long, long time after I got born again. I received such peace in my life. So from 20 to 24, I was searching for God. And the impact, I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? I had such an impact. I was so happy to be born again. I had a number of spiritual experiences that I can mention for sure that just impact my life about coming to ministry, about following Jesus, moving, and all that stuff, and God talking to me. The reason why is because I was hungry for God. If you're hungry for God, you're going to have a lot of experiences with God. But if you're hungry for the world, you're not going to have them. Unless for some special reason God does something in your life. Even then, you think about Paul, he was searching for something, and he thought he was doing the right thing. He was zealous? That word is zealous. He was zealous for what he was doing because he thought he was serving God. But the real God came to him and told him that you're on the wrong road. So I got born again. And a friend of mine came to me and said, Roma, I can pray for you. You can receive the Holy Spirit and be born again. Just like that book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can speak with tongues. I said to him, I'm going to let you pray for me because you're not a priest. Because I thought, you know, only a priest could pray these kind of things. So I said, let me pray about a month. I prayed for 1 month. I prayed, as far as I remember, I prayed every day. I got on my knees before I went to bed every night. I said, God, this man, I see this Bible here. He said I can have this. I want it, but I don't know, can I have this? So As I mentioned, I went to this meeting. He invited me to one meeting that this pastor is going to. And that night, I got filled with the Spirit so much. I got so filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was just kind of like, just so dry that life came alive to me. This power came alive. So Acts 1:8, that's what I received, an encounter with God. It was a spiritual encounter. A spiritual encounter. It's the second experience that you need to have. You must have it. This is the doorway to the supernatural. This is the doorway to the supernatural, the life in the Spirit that everybody needs. If you want to flow with the gifts of the Spirit, this is where you start. If you want to hear God talking to you sometimes, if he wants to speak to you through the gifts of the Spirit, minister to somebody, miracles or something, this is where you start. And right away, after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't months, I was ministering the same thing to other people that I knew. I would go and tell them about it. Come over to my place at 12 o'clock during my lunch hour. Come, I'm going to read you some Bible, and I'm going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'd gather four or five people, bring them over during my lunch hour break. I said, okay, we're gonna read the Bible. Let's go ahead and read a few scripture verses. And I said, this way they did it in the Bible. Let's follow what it says. The Bible says they laid hands upon them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they spoke with tongues. And lo and behold, I was getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. I was 24 years old after I got filled with the Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. To my amazement, I sensed the power. I could feel the anointing upon them. And I could see them speaking in tongues, hearing them speak with tongues. No one taught me. I didn't have a pastor to teach me. I just did it on my own because I saw it happened in the Bible. And because it happened to me, it was so real to me that I felt I could pass this on to somebody else. I didn't have to have a Bible school degree. You can do it too. You can go home tonight, find your uncle, tell him about this, and get him filled with the Spirit. So they got filled. So this is the doorway to the supernatural. So they began to speak with tongues in Acts 2:4 after that. So after this experience, Jesus promised that in the first chapter, Acts 1:8, they promised that. In chapter 2, if you go to chapter 2, look at this, and let's go to read verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now listen to me. I heard the rushing mighty wind when I was filled. I don't know what happened to you when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, but to me, it was a rushing mighty wind that came upon me in that place. I'm like this. I was like, and you know, like it's like, and it was like rushing waters, and I'm, you know. And the wind was coming like this to me. That's exactly what happened to me. God is my witness. I had this happen to me. I just didn't have this one time. I had other experiences. And that's why my life as a pastor, I became so dogmatic about things. I was not afraid when they said to me, you cannot be in ministry because of this, because of that. And when God spoke to me about coming to ministry, I knew that God wanted me there. But my head gave me trouble. Did your head ever give you trouble? But your heart knew was right, but your head gave you trouble. And other people's heads gave you trouble. Right? Because they didn't know any better. If I hadn't known, if I hadn't had these experiences with God, I would have never followed God the way I did. So this happened to me. A rushing mighty wind, it filled the house where they were sitting. And I don't know if it filled the house, but it filled my house. Verse 4. And they were all filled. Then I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I already got the Holy Ghost. I'm already saved. Well, these guys were saved. How come they got the Holy Ghost again? Is there two Holy Ghosts? There's only one Holy Ghost. So this is a subsequent experience after the born-again experience. Jesus said, you must be born again. He talks about the Spirit coming into us and so on. And in Acts chapter, or John chapter 3, in verse 4 to 7, talks about that he comes into our lives. And so they were already saved. The Bible says, Acts 20, Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Ghost, and they were all born again. So I already had the Holy Ghost. I was reading the Bible for months, and I'm crying every time I read the Bible. I was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But this was another one. I had another experience. So if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you can have that before you leave tonight. Any takers tonight? I mean, I can just pray for you right now. You'll be filled. You don't have to wait till after the service. Well, Shagabayama, Samaladiman. It's hard to. Okay. Anyway, they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just tell you something. I understand what people go through. To me, okay, just to me, with my experience, I felt like I couldn't speak English. I felt like they was forcing me. Going like this. I could hear myself. I could hear myself speaking in tongues. It was like I'm looking at myself. I'm hearing myself talk. I'm saying, that's me talking. My mind is going, that's you talking. I could hear myself speaking in tongues. I'm there, but I'm over here. Like I had another experience out of my body. And so, suddenly, everybody disappeared. I'm in this presence. I had my eyes closed. I didn't want to open them. And I was gone. It was such a deep experience. And I went away. Woo! I'm gone. It was wonderful. The most wonderful feeling I ever had in my whole entire life. I've never could compare it to it ever again. That's the only one experience I could not come back and say, I've had other experiences, but this one was the most wonderful. I saw the empty tomb. The Holy Spirit, the first thing Holy Spirit told me, the tomb, Jesus is not in there, he's risen. That's the first thing he told me. That was my first experience when I had this happen to me. I saw in my mind's eye, I saw the empty tomb. And then I came back in my awareness, and all of a sudden I could sense the power lifting, and I came back to myself, like recognizing the, you know, I'm in the church service, I said. And I felt so wonderful. It was a long service, that service. And it was wonderful. And I was supposed to go to work at 8:30. I'm in Thunder Bay. I'm supposed to be working in Kenora at 8:30. And I'm in Thunder Bay at 10 o'clock at night. I got to read it, right? Drive for 6 hours. So I said, I'm going to stay up all night. I guess I'm having such a wonderful time. So I had the Holy Ghost. And I spoke with tongues. I took a course. And there was a pastor there that was a prominent pastor of our city. He had a PhD. And I was so excited to tell him, hey, you know what happened to me? I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He took me aside. Come here, Roma. He said to me, you know, that was for those guys back then. You can't have that anymore. You can't have that experience. Well, to me, it was too late. I already had it. It was like when Keith Moore tells us, Brother Keith, Pastor Keith Moore, he doesn't call himself pastor, but he's Brother Moore. He says, if somebody jumped in a pool of water and he's doing the backstroke and he's just having a great time and he says, hey, there's no water in there. It's too late. He's already doing the backstroke. He's already swimming back. And so for me, it was like, doctor, listen, I already got the Holy Ghost. I already had the experience. So I'm glad I didn't meet him before that, because he might want to talk me out of it, because I really respected him. Because I respected academia. And so he was somebody I respected. He was a nice man. He taught, you know, different courses at college, and I respected him. But I had the Holy Ghost. So you need to have the Holy Ghost. So this, immediately after I had this experience, I began to have an encounter. I had another experience where the Holy Spirit visited me in Kenora, Ontario. I moved away to Kenora, which I didn't want to go. I remember kneeling on my knees and said, God, I got these places. I could find a job. I can get a job in Geraldton. I can work in Nipigon. I can work in Fort Francis. I can work in Sudbury. I can work in the city here. I got all these opportunities, Lord, in Kenora. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but don't send me to Kenora. And I went to Kenora. So I ended up in Kenora. And I prayed. I said, God, I'm going to give you my life. So I ended up in Kenora where I didn't want to go. And that is where the Holy Spirit, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon me while I was reading Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith. And the anointing of that man's life, in a measure, came upon me. My mother had cancer. I'm sitting at home. My sister phoned me. He said, listen, brother, mom, this is bad news. She's mom, you know, she's going to die. She's in the hospital. She's sick with cancer. You know, she's been sick for a while. And the Holy Ghost said to me, go and visit your mom. Tell her I will heal her. Well, I'm not going to tell my mother that. She's a staunch Catholic. I'm just her boy. And so I went to visit her, and very sheepishly I went to tell her. And I said, the Holy Ghost said this to me, and God wants to heal you. And so we had a little conversation. She said, that's okay, son, that's wonderful, thank you. And she went for the pre-op preparation, all that. They said, you know what? They told her, there's nothing wrong with you, you're okay. Send her home. But that's the anointing. And so I understand this. In the book of Acts, 2 Kings chapter 20, or chapter 13, verse 20, I believe it is, 21, there was a situation there where the anointing, the transfer of anointing happened on, was transferred to, a dead man's bones transferred on a man who was dead, and he revived and stood upon his feet. There is a principle, if you respect this and understand it, that if you follow after even a dead man's ministry, that anointing, the measure of that anointing, can come upon you, particularly if you're a minister and you're called to a certain area, that minister, that thing can come upon you. I want to tell you something. You know, I had things happen to me. No one taught me. I just heard, you know, particularly different ones talking about it. And I believe I should have gone even further than I could have happened to me, because, you know, you slow down because of people telling you can't do this, you can't do that, and then it slows you down. I remember different things. You know, you can't minister the Holy Ghost to people. There is a ministry of laying on hands. There's a ministry, you know. Paul talks about how do you minister the Holy Ghost to people. It's by the Spirit, by faith. I remember the Lord telling me about ministering the Holy Ghost, because before that I used to read people's scripture and pour on a whole bunch of scriptures, and then I'd try real hard to pray for them. But after I understood about the anointing, I began to tell people, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost without ever teaching them anything. Because the Holy Spirit said, see that woman? Yeah, tell her just be filled with the Holy Ghost. I've had that happen a number of times where the Holy Ghost came upon me and I'm going to tell someone, I'm supposed to tell them to be filled, and they were filled in an instant. In 19, I began to have these experiences, a number of experiences like that. I'd be teaching. The Lord said to me, teach on prayer. The anointing of God would come upon me, and the power of God was there. And I didn't understand about the anointing back then. No one ever taught us. We never heard about Benny Hinn. We never heard about all these guys, Rodney Howard Brown, that move in this area. And I never saw much of Brother Hagin move this way. But in the early 90s, the Lord said to me, teach on prayer. And I didn't understand about prayer. I didn't know about anything about prayer. But the Lord said to me, teach on prayer. I didn't know about prayer. I said, I don't know anything about prayer. So I got all the materials together, studied hard on it, and I began to teach on prayers, different kinds of prayers. And so while I'm teaching on the intercession and all that, people begin to fall like flies on the floor, begin to wail and pray, and strong out of their spirit begin to cry. Some of them were crawling, and they. I remember I was actually teaching one night just from my little pulpit there in the basement apartment. There might have been about 20 people there in that room, and I'm walking like this and teaching, and say this lady or these ladies right here was one of my secretary. She was right there. And she had to come to my house regularly in our basement because we had our office there. And so she was there teaching, and I'm looking at her, and she fell on the floor. And she started crawling towards me. And it wasn't like nice crawl either. Like, and she was trying to talk to me like, you know, pastor, I said, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with these people? Charismatics, charismatics. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? They're crazy. I didn't even know what the Lord was using me. And the anointing came upon me and all of a sudden fell on her. And then other people started falling. And then I was teaching one night. My brother is over there. He's going to come to my meeting. And I know my brother's the most carnal Christian you ever meet. He smokes and he drinks once in a while, goes bingo, among other. I know he's got to be the most carnal Christian I know, but he loves Jesus. He says, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. He's born again, all right. But he doesn't know how to walk in the Spirit. He's over there sitting there, and I'm talking to people. We're talking about praying and all that. And we started to get quiet for a bit. We just said, okay, everybody, let's go ahead and let's get quiet before the Lord, and let's go ahead and start ministering to the Lord and start praying. We're going to wait on God for a little bit, and he's there. And then I heard some grunting. It went like this. I said, what in the world is going on? And I looked at the corner of my eye this way, and I saw my brother going, I was really mad. I said, I know what's happening to him. The devil's coming out of him. I said, no, he smokes, he drinks, goes to bingo. I bet they're all coming out right now. It kept going louder. And in my own self, with my just quick mind and, you know, wonderful, you know, wisdom that I had, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rebuke this spirit under my breath so that I don't want anybody, I don't want to embarrass myself because he's my brother. I don't want anybody to know that my brother has a devil. Because they might look at me sideways. So in my mind, I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. And as I said that, he got louder. To me, it was so loud. I said, I should have never invited him over. He's ruining my meeting. He's ruining my ministry. And I didn't understand. And the Lord started using him because, you know, the Lord can use whoever he wants. He was open. He didn't have any understanding about, nobody taught him about the things of the Spirit. But God moved upon him and he started, like that woman, my secretary, she fell over. We call them secretaries. I don't know what they call them, executive something now today. I'm secretaries. Anyway, so my wife always tells me, you have old terminology. She says to me, whenever you say something when somebody, you know, they got a leg, something wrong with their leg, and says, you know, he said, you say, you're very crude. You said, they have to cut off their leg. You should say amputate or something. She corrects me at night before we go to bed. So tonight she probably cracked me. Shouldn't have said that. But I'm trying to do the best I could with what I know. My family used to tell me about this. He said, you know, you have a master's degree and you don't know how to do certain things. I said, they don't teach you everything in school. My dad used to tell me that. My sister, one time I was picking my nose. She caught me picking my nose. My sister looked at me and said, you have a master's degree and you're picking your nose. That's what sisters do to you. So anyway, he fell on the floor and he started praying really hard. My brother did, and the lady did too. And I said, you know what? After those meetings, I said, Lord, I ain't going to teach like that anymore. These guys are crazy. And I didn't understand about groaning in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit back then. I had no idea that this was possible. The Lord showed me and began to teach me different things. I had to learn, I had to overcome my own religious thinking. But if we don't understand something, we're against it. And so Brother Hagin taught us, if we don't teach people about the things of the Spirit, young people like this is going to miss God. And so Brother Hagin said, sometimes this is the kind of prayer that's going to set the captive free. This is the kind of prayer, it's not like, Lord, bless him and help him and get him saved or get him healed. There's a prayer, he said, unless certain people pray in the Holy Ghost, there's some people who will never get healed. They'll never come to Jesus. There's more to praying than just God help them, God bless them. So there's another level of praying that we need to get to. And then we need to get to that place where we pray and allow the Lord help. You know, I'm not one that prays deeply in the Spirit, but I do pray regularly. And I prayed for our students last night about Brother Higgins said this. He said, most people have to take special time to pray, take hours or they fast. It's because they are not ready every day to pray. But those people who are ready to pray, they're instant in season. They're always praying. They're always praying every night, every day, even when they're watching a hockey game or a football game. They're praying in the Spirit. They're in the mall. They're always praying in the Holy Ghost. They're ready to pray regularly. They're going for a walk in the bush. They're praying in the Holy Spirit. They're ready. Nothing surprises them because already the Holy Ghost has already told them something. The door to the supernatural is to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we need that. And so he says, you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. And so we need to have that kind of spirit, that kind of anointing, to really minister in these last days. We can't minister supernaturally without that kind of power. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year or 6 months ago, you need another infilling of the Holy Spirit. Don't say, I had that 6 months ago. I had that last Sunday. I had that one time. No, you need it again. And if you don't want it again, you're sick. Because we can get spiritually sick. When someone's sick, they don't want to eat. If you got the flu, you don't want to eat. You don't want to drink. You hate the smell of food. So when you're in the Spirit, you don't want to read your Bible. It makes you sick. Sort of thing, you know. You don't want to go to church. Oh, it's too long. We don't want to do a lot of things. So we need to learn to get back to the ways of the Spirit and teach and begin to wait on God and begin to be open up under the Spirit of God. So one of the things that set me free is Brother Hagin and I used to have lots of time of prayer. I'd pray for weeks at a time. I'd pray in hours at a time. And I thought the only way you could do certain things is to pray for hours at a time for certain areas. But the Lord said, just go ahead and continue to pray on a regular basis. Just don't take a whole lot of hours. Just go ahead and pray every day, all day long, in your spirit. Keep in contact with God. And I'll talk to you and minister to you. And as a traveling minister, I learned to take hours to pray. And anointing is different when you go out into the different areas. As a traveling minister, the anointing is different when you travel than when you're in the local church. Because when you're in a local church, you're a pastor, you're administrating, you're teaching different things, you're in a different kind of mode, different kind of operation when you're a local pastor. It's a totally different anointing than when you're ministering as an evangelist. Totally different. And you prepare yourself every day differently than you would do as a traveling minister or an evangelist or whatever like that. But I just sense we need to be ready for something else in the next while. We need an experience. Praise God. Amen? We got to get out of here. It's 8:16. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. You enjoyed that little sharing a little bit? Amen. I told the girls, you know, we're going to just share out of our spirit today. Lord, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We want to praise you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I just pray everyone here who needs to go an extra mile to get an encounter with God, I just pray that everyone in this church will have an encounter with God. I just pray that they'll have a supernatural reigniting of the passion of Jesus about the Spirit and following the things of the Spirit and experience the supernatural power of God. That people will not just say, oh, hum. They'll just say, oh, yum, I want some more. I want the Holy Ghost. I want everybody to be filled. I want us all to be filled at the same time, in the same place, in the same manner like the book of Acts. I want the same Holy Ghost that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had. And Peter, who wrote Acts 10:30, how God anointed Jesus. Like Luke, who was in that upper room, who said that Jesus was anointed. I want the same anointing, the same spirit like they had. I want the same anointing like those guys had in the book of Kings, where the Holy Ghost came upon them. I want signs and wonders happening in this church so that people in this city, in this area, will not, cannot deny the fact something's going on at Faith City Church. The power of God is in demonstration. That there's something special about that campus. As they come to this campus, as they come around in these grounds, that the power of God will begin to manifest himself. Demons will flee. People will have experiences. People will have visitations with the Spirit of God, even with angelic experiences. They'll have visions. They'll have supernatural encountering by the Spirit of God. I pray for everyone in this room and all the families that are not here tonight. If you agree with that, say amen.